In the gospel reading today, our Lord tells his apostles that he is going to be leaving, but he tells them that if they truly loved him, they would rejoice that he was leaving to go back to the Father. Now we look at it from our own perspective and we know how difficult it is for us when someone dies, how hard it is when they leave. It's hard even when somebody goes on a trip for a couple of weeks to leave them. But when it's going to be forever, how painful and difficult that is. And yet our Lord is telling us that it's a far greater thing because we can go to be with God. But it's greater even than that, he's telling us. As wonderful it is that he can go back and be with his Heavenly Father, there is a great benefit for us as well, because he tells us that he will send us another paraclete, the advocate, one who speaks on behalf of another is what that word means. But what it means ultimately for us is that while our Lord was with his apostles, even after the resurrection, he was among them. He was with them, just like we are here now. We are all together with one another. But once the Holy Spirit would be given, the Lord would be within his apostles. No longer just among them, but actually inside of them. And that's exactly what he does for us. On the day that you were baptized, the Holy Trinity came to dwell within you. And as long as you are in the state of sanctifying grace, the Holy Trinity dwells in the depths of your soul. So when we look at what we hear in the second reading, we are told that St. John saw the heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And we hear that that heavenly Jerusalem gleamed with the splendor of God, and it was radiant like that of a precious jewel. But you are made in the image and likeness of God. It tells us in that second reading that there was no temple because God is the temple. So if you're made in the image and likeness of God, that means you are the temple of God. And isn't that exactly what we heard in the gospel? Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. What it literally says is we will tabernacle in him. We will pitch our tent within him. That's what God has done for each one of us. So we have become the temple of the Lord, the very dwelling place of God. This is, again, very important to us because when we hear about the New Jerusalem, later on in the same book of Revelation, St. John reveals to us further what that New Jerusalem is. It's not a city the way that we think of a city, but rather he tells us that the New Jerusalem is the bride of the Lamb, which means that it is a city that consists of all of the saints. That's what God is looking for from each one of us. Now, God could have, if he wanted to, just simply told us, said, look, if you live a good life, if you die in the state of grace, if you strive for holiness and union with God, that he's offering this glory of heaven for all of us. And that is indeed what he's doing. And if that's all that he would have told us, that already would have been beyond anything we deserve. It would have been beyond our wildest imagination. And it would have given us something so wonderful to look forward to. And all that is true. But God loves you even more than that. Rather than simply saying, look, we have something wonderful for you in the future, he's already doing it. He loves you so much that rather than simply saying, I will wait until you come to be with me, he's telling us, I'm going to come to be with you. While you are in this world, God is with you. When you leave this world, then you can go to be with God. So he already dwells within you, which means that each one of us should gleam with the very radiance of God, with the splendor of God. Ask yourself, how many people do you know who do that? I've seen two in my life. Two. Out of all of the people who are baptized into Christ, most of us don't radiate. And that's pretty sad. Because it tells us in the second reading that not only is God the temple, but the Lamb is the light, the lamp. So God dwells in the very depths of our soul, and most of us have done exactly what Jesus told us that we shouldn't do. He said, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a bushel basket, but rather they put it on a stand where it's going to give light to everyone in the house. But how many of us have the light of Christ coming out of us? We've covered it up. We've covered it up with our sins. We've covered it up with our selfishness. We've covered it up with our, with whatever it may be, all of our materialism and so on. We've covered up the light of Christ. And we don't allow it to radiate out from within us. So that's something that we all have to look at. Something we need to think seriously about. What is it that the Lord is offering? And why is this not radiating through me? Perhaps it has to do with the fact of what Jesus told us in the gospel. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, and not as the world gives do I give it to you. It's his peace. So he tells us not to let our hearts be troubled or afraid. We live today in a society that is so filled with fear, so filled with anxiety, and we have to ask ourselves why. If our Lord has given us his peace, why would we have all this anxiety? The peace that he gives, he said, is not like the peace the world gives, because the world's peace can only be an external peace. It just simply means a lack of conflict. The peace of Christ is an interior peace, that we can be at peace on the inside. So if we're not, why? Perhaps we can look at what Jesus said to Martha. Martha, Martha, he said, you are worried, you're anxious and upset about many things. But he said, only one thing is necessary. How many of us are so anxious about so many things? The advertisers have told us over and over again for the entirety of our lives, if you get these things, this will make your life so much easier. You're going to have so much free time. It's going to be so wonderful. Just think how much this is going to do for you. And how many of those have actually worked? Zero. Because they can't. All that we've done with all these things that are going to save us so much time is to fill up the time with more things. So now instead of doing one thing in a certain amount of time, we're doing dozens of things in a certain amount of time. Human beings today are living in a way that we were not created to live. We were not created to have our face in a screen with this thing pounding at us constantly. We weren't created to be constantly doing things nonstop, as fast as we possibly can, moving from one to the next. It's not the way that God made us. So all of these things, many of them that are very wonderful in so many ways, are not so wonderful in many other ways. And so we keep looking for something that's going to bring some peace, that's going to take away our anxiety and our fear. But the only thing, the one thing necessary is right in front of us. Indeed, right within us at the very depth of our soul, and most of us aren't even aware that he's there. We keep looking for things on the outside. Jesus said he gives a peace that the world can't give. Those outside things aren't going to bring it. Only he is. So what we all have to ask ourselves is, do I really want that? Sounds kind of nice to be at peace, but do I want it? Because that means we're going to have to make some changes in our lives. It means that we need to stop sinning. It means that we need to really look seriously at our prayer life. It means that I really have to take seriously what our Lord said. It means that I have to want him to be the center of my life, not just a part of my life. For many of us, it's, well, yeah, I want Jesus in my life, but kind of out here. He's already at the very center of your being. He doesn't want to be out there somewhere because he's in here. And he wants us to be united with him in our hearts. That's where the peace is going to come from, when we're united with him. Nothing else can grant that peace. But the key is keeping our focus on him. When you come into church, it's a place of peace. It's a place where you should be able to pray. It's a place where you can let your guard down and you can be united with the Lord. That's what your soul ought to be too. Just think for a minute when you came in this morning. What if the church was just full of junk? Hadn't been swept, it hadn't been vacuumed, it's just dirty and just grimy, cobwebs hanging all over the place, unkept. What would you think about that when you walked in? We'd be disgusted with that. We'd think that this is not dignified because the Lord is here and we're not keeping things in good order for him. Well, your soul is not made to reflect the church. The church is made to reflect your soul. What you would expect of the church building should be exactly what your soul should be like. It should be beautiful, it should be pristine, it should be clean, it should be at peace, it should be glorious, it should be splendid, gleaming with the splendor of God, as St. John said. That's what our souls should be, because our soul is the real temple of the Lord. That's what St. Paul told us. You are the temple of the Lord. So that's what we all have to look at. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other, but rather let it get into the heart, because the Lord is there. If you are in the state of grace, he is in you. And so he is simply waiting for each one of us to find him there and to unite ourselves with him there. That's the invitation that he's giving. That's where we're going to find our peace. That's where we're going to find our fulfillment. That's where we're going to find the very purpose of our life. And so if we look at it and say, look, I want to love God so much that I want to spend eternity with him, then keep in mind that God loves you so much that he wants to spend your time with you, that he has come to be with you to prepare you for when you can go to be with him. He has already made his choice. He chose you. He gave himself to you, and he continues to give himself to you. He's at the center of your being. Now you and I have a choice. Are we going to choose him? And are we going to allow him to be the center of our life? That's what this is all about. So eternity began on the day you were baptized. You became the dwelling place of God. You became the temple of the Lord. And now, if we are willing to cooperate with His grace, what is said of the holy city, and you are a member of that holy city already, then it can be said of you that, imagine that, you would be able to gleam with the very splendor of God. You would be radiant like a precious jewel, because that's how God sees you, and that's what He wants to do in you. If we are all willing to simply go inside, unite ourselves with Him, and find the one thing necessary, the Lord Jesus, who dwells in the temple of your soul.